The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my passion is guiding others to find and live what they love. One of my favorite things to remind my clients of is that there is no one set way that anyone has to pursue a career of passion. Some know exactly what they want to do from a very young age. Some discovered after a particular experience, job, or someone's given them a piece of advice. Sometimes it's sequential. Sometimes it's haphazard. Sometimes it happens once in a lifetime. And sometimes it happens many times in a lifetime. But the bottom line is, although that has always been the norm and the expectation handed down from many generations, the linear path is not the only path. There simply is no one right way to find and experience career passion. My guest today is an excellent example of this. His name is Steve Noyes. He started out in the world of motorcycle and car racing, ventured into automobile sales, took 15 years off to be a stay-at-home dad, built a cabin from the ground up, and now is living what he calls his bucket list career as the superintendent of trails and pathways for the city of Eagle. And he began this job, this bucket list career, at an age when many people are looking to retire. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Steve will join us and share what his path to career passion has looked like. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives they genuinely love. I'm your host, Lisa Marquardt, a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live what they love. My guest today is Steve Noyes. He is the Trails and Pathways Superintendent for Eagle, Idaho, and Steve is living his bucket list career. Whenever I hear someone make that claim, I have to know how it came to be. And I've already picked Steve's brain on this, and I'm elated to be able to share it with my audience. So welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, great. And you're all the way down there in Eagle. So thanks for taking the time out to spend some time with us this morning.
My pleasure.
So I'm not sure how many people there are that are actually living their bucket list careers or can actually say they ever have in their lifetime. So with that in mind, let's just make everyone a little bit envious, and perhaps you could share what it is about what you get to do as a superintendent of Trails and Pathways that totally lights you up.
Well, what lights me up is being able to make an impact, a lasting impact, leave behind something that will go on for generations in our community. Trails in our community amount to foothills trails, green belt trails, or greenway trails, such as 10-foot wide asphalt and concrete pathways along a river. These things can only be done at the time development occurs around them. So my process, what I get to do is review new development plans and try to apply a trails master plan that we wrote about 3 years ago. And as these projects infill, as they build up, visualize the big picture and someday connect them all to each other.
Awesome. So It sounds kind of like you get an opportunity to be super creative, and yet there's probably tons of rules and you know, zoning issues and things like that that you bump up against too. And so, is there kind of a good balance that works for you, or how did you even come upon getting into this job?
Well, I've spent a life on trails. I have a background in my first half of my life racing motorcycles and other motorized things, then moved into mountain biking. I was an equestrian hiker. Trails have always been a central part of my life. I ran a mountain bike club for 25 years. We had weekly rides that averaged 20 to 30 people a night. Trails have been a very, very big part of my life. And then, you know, boy, a few careers were sprinkled in over those two and a half decades. But suffice to say that I became involved as a volunteer and then as a trail advocate, freelance writer for various causes regarding mountain biking and foothills trails and nature trails. Then the city of Eagle decided that they wanted to focus on trails, but they needed somebody to come in and organize the maintenance of the existing trails. Well, my job has grown into more of a planning function because of the explosive growth here.
Right.
We are a community of 35,000 people. We expect to be double that by 2040.
Wow.
It is booming, and my job has evolved into something that allows us to focus specifically on trails and open space and make sure that we don't miss opportunities in this vastly changing footprint that we have here.
And so it sounds like there was definitely forward thinking in planning as far as, you know, just kind of understanding that this growth was going to happen. And I don't know, like with your experience with working perhaps with other cities or, you know, and even other states, have you noticed that that's a trend for, you know, a city or, you know, specific area to have someone to be the overseer of that development? Or is this kind of a new thing that Eagle was just kind of ahead of the game on?
You know, I like to think that Eagle was well ahead of the game. And I was the first employee for the city of Eagle that had the word trail in their in their title.
Yeah.
And even our adjacent cities don't have anybody that carries that title around.
Right.
This kind of thing is often done by public works departments, by planning and zoning, by parks and recreation. It's sprinkled all over the place in various cities. We are in a unique position to have a central focused office that deals in nothing but trails planning and trail maintenance. But, you know, it's a real opportunity. It's an unusual opportunity because we're a small city.
Right.
On any given day, early in my career, I could be in a board meeting and 5 minutes later out cutting down a tree that fell over the greenbelt pathway.
Right.
When it was just me. The growth has really provided the opportunity. Trails nationally are becoming much more of a topic for educators across the country. There's community colleges and universities that are looking at these potential fields for people as a field of study.
Wow.
But to date, there really isn't anything established.
And so when you got the opportunity to, you know, you said you got to do the maintenance and it just kind of evolved. Did they invite you up to a new position because of the fact that you had the experience and the passion and the knowledge of what perhaps those trails and pathways should look like?
Well, the truth is I just kind of started doing the work. I noticed that there were several easements that were not in order. There were developments that were occurring around the city that could have been improved otherwise, and I just started knocking on doors in planning and zoning, the mayor's office, public works, anybody where these opportunities surfaced, I began to work with them directly. Long story short, now we've developed a process where new development comes in, they have to submit a set of plans or a landscape plan or a master trail plan. And I get to review that early in their process. it just happened. It just evolved, but they didn't offer me a job along the way. I kind of created it out of a passion to do it.
Love that. And is your job title a new job title that they created because of the work that you were doing, or is it just that what you got hired as evolved?
The title has changed three or four times. I've worked for three mayors in the 8 years that I've been here, and everybody has a different opinion on what I should be called. Started as trails coordinator, went to assistant director, then finally evolved to superintendent. It doesn't matter to me. I like to tell people I'm the trail guy.
The trail guy. Awesome. Well, I think that it's one of the things I really do try to encourage my clients to do is step up to the plate with what you have and make sure that everybody knows that. Don't hold back because the job description designates what you're supposed to be doing according to responsibilities and duties. It's if you've got more passion, you've got more ideas and creativity, don't hold back. And that's what I love about what you get to do is because it just sounds like, you just said, why should I just tie myself into what's listed on a piece of paper when I've got so much more to offer?
Yeah, it goes that way. And what I would say to anybody that is in this field right now is if you're in it, you already know there's a lot of money out there, a lot of opportunities, grants, and so forth to make these things happen. But you really need to think outside the box, and you need to look to new development and let them pay their share of the development. They benefit from
right.
it. So we are currently requiring all new developments to build and provide the pathways to the public. And right now, we've got 20-plus miles of trails that are going to be built as a result of new subdivisions.
Wow.
I have 30 subdivisions in one phase or another on my desk right now. But that's like getting a 20-mile-long city park donated to you.
Yes.
For no charge.
Yes.
When developers understand and believe, when the passion grows and they understand the benefit of it, and that's really a big part of my job is the educating of the developers and how it increases their land and all these things. But any community that might have the opportunity or is in a growth cycle, they really need to get on board and start requiring these things to happen.
Yeah. And do you find any pushback with your developers that you're talking to?
Oh, it's been a pushback all along the way. Developers don't want to pay any more than they have to develop a pathway.
Right.
But they're businessmen, and they understand that an enhancement to their property or to common areas in their property will increase their profits.
Right.
But that's just something that I had to work with our planning and zoning department, our mayor, our city council, everybody to see these values. And then when plans go through the various commissions, they know the value of it. And when developers object, which they do less of these days, but when they do, they're loaded with the tools they need to redirect the development into something that's going to fit into the community.
Yeah, I would think that would be such a drawing card for people to, when they're looking to purchase, is to say, we get this access to this phenomenal system where, we can exercise, we can, enjoy the great outdoors in a way that we know is, well designed and developed. And so I would think it would be such a huge selling point that it would be hard to resist.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that being close to a trail, whether it be a greenway, greenbelt, or foothill trail, hiking trail, bike trail, whatever it is, being closer, living closer to a trail increases the value of your property.
Right.
And there has been many major studies in the last two decades that support that idea. One that it's kind of a kind of a summary of all that's been studied in the last 5 years, says that if you're 1,000 feet closer to someone, closer to a trail, than someone who has the identical house, your house is worth $20,000 more.
Wow.
Because the trend nationwide, and especially since COVID, especially since the pandemic, is that people want to live near open spaces. They're able to work from home. They're more able to get out and enjoy open spaces. But frankly, they don't want it to take care of it.
Right.
Gone are the days where big backyards were are the thing. People want to live near open space, near public recreation. And it's happening here.
I love it. I love all that foresight. Anyway, it's time for us to go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Steve Noyes. He is the superintendent of Trails and Parkways in Eagle, Idaho. And before we went to break, we were talking about his bucket list career and how he gets to facilitate pathways and getting people to be able to enjoy the outdoors, which is always been a passion for Steve. And what I wanted to segue into is just kind of the synchronicity of where this passion came from. And we've talked about from a very early age, you had an interest in motorcycle racing. So tell us a little bit about that beginning.
Well, racing was always a part of my mother's family, in that my grandfather was in auto racing in one form or another, or one capacity or another, for a long time before I was born. That love of racing turned into a love of motorcycle racing for me at an early age, and I took part in that for a good long time growing up. Also, at the same time, though, my sisters were equestrians, and I got drug into that, ended up being an equestrian myself, competing in some small-time endurance riding, things like that. But motor racing has always been my thing, and trails and tracks, more specifically,
right,
are a big part of that. Later in life, it manifests itself by, well, the mountain bike thing.
Right.
That became the longest duration of any hobby I've ever been involved in. I'm still in it today. I've been riding weekly, except for maybe the darkest parts of the winter, but
right,
weekly for about 30 years. So yeah, it began as a kid, a love for trails, and how it all fit together. But you know, the pathway to getting to this job had many stops along the way. I was in the ambulance business for 5 years, starting at age 18. That job began when I was building ambulances in high school. Then I went into the automobile business, which was really sort of a family business. I did that mainly for 11 years. I worked in almost every position in one dealership. And over 11 years' time, there was 4 different owners of that dealership.
Wow.
So that gave me a lot of knowledge about how to navigate new ownership, and kind of like now, navigating the new administrations. You know, then it went into consulting after that. And then about 1995, I went to work for Micron Technology, semiconductor manufacturer. And again, starting at the ground level, worked on small projects for an engineering group. And that evolved into development of an engineering and manufacturing document system that we came up with that they still use today. That really was a process improvement that turned into profit. But in the year 2000, I left Migron to support my wife's career opportunity.
Wow.
We had a 12-year-old daughter at the time who was as interesting as her dad was at age 12, I guess. but she was also very involved in team sports and those kind of things. And my wife didn't want to have our child be a latchkey kid and navigate all those challenges on her own.
Sure.
So she had considered not taking a fantastic career opportunity in healthcare that she had been offered. I saw the opportunity to, frankly, play more golf and ride more mountain bikes, but that didn't happen. I became a housewife for, gosh, about 10 plus years.
Yeah.
And gained a huge respect for housewives in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
That job should start at $100,000 a year. I'm
yeah.
really sure.
Yes.
Very sure of that. And I was just raising one.
Right.
But as my child became older and started to leave the nest, I had the opportunity to buy a small piece of property in McCall, Idaho, and design and build a weekend home or a vacation home there, which I still own today. And in that 2.5-year process of design and build, I got to live there in tents and trailers and borrowed couches. And my daughter even came up a couple of summers and helped. We had many friends come up and help on weekends. It was a fantastic project, but that took me closer to trails. Right out our back door is a trailhead for Bear Basin, which has a wonderful mountain bike network and hiking network, and it leads to Brundage Mountain, just 10 miles away from my home.
Nice.
Which has a great trail network and a summer mountain bike program. Obviously, Ponderosa State Park, there's lots of trails there, so that's kind of been the central theme. Well, while I get that done, my friends started to send me this link to an ad about a job here in Eagle, and it was a job to mainly organize maintenance. The salary at the time was not one I felt anyone could live on,
right.
But I was in a position to be able to take that on and as it was offered, and that was 8 years ago. And here I am.
Love that. And, you know, and that's one of the things I often advise with my clients as well, is that, you know, sometimes you can't necessarily look at the job title or the amount of pay. If it's in alignment with something that you love to do and you're passionate about and you can go to work and be excited every day about what you get to do, the opportunities for growth and advancement and opportunities just they just keep coming if you just kind of take your eye off of the tangible things such as how much you're going to pay. And granted, not everyone can step into that position, but if there is an opportunity to do that, and maybe there's other ways to supplement what you do, to take something that is in alignment with what you know, is something that you love, is a paycheck in itself in so many different ways.
That is so true. I really believe that. And a long time ago, I was taught that whatever job you're doing, you need to do it like you're doing your dream job.
Right.
Because you develop habits. You develop ways of doing things. A professional is an ordinary person doing an ordinary job in an extraordinary way.
Yeah.
And I never had an education in the field that I ended up going into.
Exactly.
So you really have to be able to leverage other skill sets. And the one that goes to work each and every time is relationships.
Yes.
Being identified as somebody that has passion for what they do, no matter what it is, and being able to develop relationships and understand that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Love that.
The negotiations that I'm involved in are similar to ones that I've been involved in since age 20.
Interesting.
When you're selling a snow cone, you have a lemonade stand, whatever you're doing, your whole life, do it the way you're going to do your dream job. Because when I arrived here, I arrived with I think some very valuable habits and some skills and understanding people, and those things have turned into master plans and master agreements with canal companies and landowners and nonprofits, and it's all about relationships.
Yep. So just have to ask, how did you get that message? How did you figure that out? Did somebody mentor you, or was it just kind of intuitive for you?
It was survival.
yes, I you understand.
Know, yeah, I was raised in an interesting family life, and we were rich and we were poor, and we were rich and we were poor my whole life. And along the way, there were several times when I perhaps had to work when otherwise I would rather be doing something else. But when you live that life, you develop those habits of survival, really.
Right.
You get married, you have a child, expenses increase, yada, yada. You just have to develop skills, and then whatever opportunity comes your way, you can transfer those, no matter what the technical focus is.
Absolutely.
I've had five distinctly different careers, and none of them I've been actually educated in.
But I think the beauty in your pathway is the fact that, just like you said, it was about developing the relationships and asking the right questions and getting the resources that you needed in order to be able to elevate in a direction that you chose. And I'm not sure everybody always gets that.
Yeah. I know many like that. I know people that go to college and they rest on that laurel.
Yep.
and expect that things are going to go a certain way. But when I look back at the successes I've had and failures, it's all about getting the right people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the people together that can affect change, and not being in charge, not trying to change their life for your benefit, just trying to bring benefit to their life, and then it turns into a win-win. But it's all about getting the right people in the room and seeing a common goal.
Absolutely. I love that. Great place to break. So it's that time again. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and my guest today is Steve Noyes. He is the Trails and Pathways Superintendent for the City of Eagle, Idaho. And we've been talking about how Steve has had a very diverse career background, that has ultimately led him to his bucket list career. And it's just interesting how everything kind of lends itself. All the careers that you've had along the way have brought something to the table that is allowing you to do this bucket list career that you have right now. And I think one of the things when we first spoke that I was most impressed about is the fact that you didn't have necessarily knowledge or education or skills in whatever career it was that you transitioned to, and you did allude to all of them that were in the path. And I think it's so admirable that you transitioned with an attitude that was, I can do this. I know how to get the information that I need. You already spoke to the fact that relationships were key to that. But in this time in our lives, so many people are looking to transition around and they are scared to take the steps or the leaps in order to do that. So what advice, what suggestions do you have for people that would maybe be in a situation and wondering how the heck they get out of what they're doing so they can move into something that's a little bit better fit for who they are and what they love?
Well, I think the prospect of doing something that you really love increases the odds that you're going to succeed. I may have misspoke by saying that I take on the attitude that I can do it, and I do, but I really try to put myself in a place where I'm saying, this has to be done.
Mm.
And then the pieces fall into place. The difference between those two statements is the passion and the urgency and the need to share the idea and to benefit others. And, you know, I'm a trail guy, but building trails, you know, a trail can be a path that you create for future business owners, for your children, for your friends,
yes.
To improve themselves. And, you know, I'm getting closer to retirement, as we all are, but I'm really close. And, you know, I look at what I'm doing here now, and I'm not just building trails, I'm building pathways for those who follow me in this endeavor. And I take a lot of pride in that because I didn't see a lot of that on my way here.
Right. And so I would imagine that a big part of that is the education process, too, that you have to take the initiative to get. Because, you know, like, just speaking to the fact that you built a cabin from the ground up with really no training or background in that area. I mean, that's not a feat that most people would take on their own.
Well, it's finding your way in the door. As far as being able to design and build my own place, that was made possible because in the county where I built it, the homeowner or the property owner could be the general contractor. The homeowner or anyone could be the architect.
Hmm.
If you simply had an architect sign off on the plans. So that is kind of a microcosm of many careers, really,
yeah.
That I've enjoyed. You know, the opportunities that I've had have been ground level. That's where I come in because I didn't carry with me the resume or the diplomas that I needed in that specific field. So you have to be willing to take on a challenge down at entry level,
yeah.
and work your way through. And those first two or three or whatever years, that's the education you need in that field. And that's how I've been able to do it. Now, it takes smaller organizations to make a large impact. If I came into a city of 2 million people, there would be many, many, many layers of people I would have to work my way through.
Sure.
I wouldn't even get in the door without the resume.
Right.
So you have to look for those little niches,
mm-hmm.
Those opportunities. If you want to change to a dream field, you probably want to do so where you can be a bigger fish in a little pond.
Absolutely. That's such great advice. And it's not a message that is very widely spread out there. It's usually, you know, you try to reach for the highest star, whereas maybe starting at the entry level is an opportunity to grow more in a direction that feels good to you and gives you the opportunity to learn things that, you know, in a way that's comfortable. Because I know that one of the problems that a lot of people have out there in the world of work is they are not loving it because they don't feel confident. They don't feel like they can do everything that's required for the job. And they are in a position where they get to the point where they're afraid to ask. And that's very uncomfortable for an individual who's in that position.
Yeah. And the educations that I've had in the fields I've had have benefited the organizations I work for because of that ground level entry. My first 2 years here, I only had employees to help me maintain the system 8 months a year. So for one third of the entire year, if something needed to be done out there, I did it.
Wow.
I took the chainsaw out there. I took a shovel out and corrected an erosion problem. I dealt with fencing. I dealt with trees that were overgrowing an area or that were planted in the wrong places. That kind of information, that kind of experience is much more valuable
Yes.
in my current position. Because when I look at a design of a pathway system within a subdivision, I remember those days when I had to go out and do all those things. There was nowhere to turn the truck around. There was no way to get a truck to it if I needed to. I had to walk into this area. A lot of considerations weren't made for living with this thing in perpetuity. So I think that that's one more vote for an entry-level attack on a career.
Yep.
and finding a place where you can obtain the education and a paycheck at the same time.
Absolutely. And I also think it gives you an opportunity to discover some things you might not know about yourself that you might enjoy doing, because you get to dabble your foot in something that maybe wasn't exactly on your radar screen and you wouldn't know otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. My career with Micron Technology was one where I had been fed up with the automobile business, the ethics, the hours, the stress. And I was having lunch with my mother one day and said, you know, you should just go out and look for temp jobs to find exposures to new things.
Right.
And the very first one I took was with Micron Technology, and they needed somebody to coordinate a small project that was being done. And that turned into a full-time position after about 6 weeks. So, yeah. Getting out there and doing things you wouldn't normally do or you may not think you enjoy doing, that certainly has been my career path.
I love it. And so your career path has led you to your bucket list career that you get to enjoy today. So if you were to look down your path and had some sort of a vision of what might be lying ahead for you as far as what's still out there that you want to do before you choose to retire? What might that look like?
Well, as I said earlier, careers in trails management, development, and design are growing all over the country. I attend conferences and network with people all over the country, and there are a lot of opportunities popping up out there right now in my field.
Right.
And I've been presented with some opportunity. But frankly, I love where I live. I love being a part of this system. And we have two rivers that run through our city. We have thousands of acres of BLM land to the north that we're working on right now for a trail system. We have connectivity to 200 miles of trails in the Boise system. I can't imagine a blank canvas like the one that I get to work with each and every day. But if it came along and it were in a place where I can do the things I enjoy when I'm not working, I could go there. But I think that the next several years I'm going to be preparing for work as a volunteer on various commissions, perhaps Parks and Recreation, Trails and Pathways, City Council, that kind of thing. And then doing some consulting work as well.
Awesome. Well, I think that what you're doing is very inspirational. Not only that, I mean, I always say that if you're doing work that you love and you're enhancing the lives of others by doing so, you got a pretty darn good pathway going for yourself. So I think that you're definitely on that path. And I think that just by what you're doing can be an inspiration to other cities, communities, on, you know, what's possible, and to take the steps to be able to allow that sooner than later, especially with the growth in Idaho right now. I especially appreciate you being able to share your insight and how that has played up for you. So anyway, Steve, it has been such a pleasure to hear about your bucket list career and how it's evolved. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening in.